Our special guest tonight, Walter Simkew, as we talk about reincarnation later tonight. We'll take your phone calls and stories on reincarnation as well. More to talk with him about, though, when I come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Dr. Walter Simkew as we talk about some of these more incredible reincarnation cases. Facial features, let's talk a little bit more about that before we get into birthmarks. So it seems to be that this is pretty prevalent, isn't it?
Yes, and as I mentioned, there are five of the Stevenson cases with images on the website, and there's another nine where physical resemblance is reported in the Stevenson cases, though the images were not provided. And then we have another dozen independently researched cases on the ISIS website that show very distinct physical resemblance.
All right. Now, what about birthmarks? They seem to appear as well.
Well, what the theory seems to be is that there's an energy body, some you can call it the etheric body or whatever one you want to call it, but an energy body that underlies the physical body. And there is some evidence of this. We have a image of a what appears to be a spirit coming out of a deceased young man's body. What happened is these teenagers were on a car ride in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. One of them was trying to move up to the front seat, and the car went out of control, hit a tree, and that young man was killed instantly.
Oh, geez.
A state patrolman came by, realized that the boy was dead, and then called for backup and started to take photographs of the accident scene. He turned the camera into the lab at the police station, and the police lab developed the pictures and called him and said, there's something really strange here. And what the images showed was what appeared to be the spirit of the boy floating above the car. And the spirit image was not a passive image. He's like shouting. His mouth is wide open, in kind of a tense pose. I mean, it really looks like he's shouting. And Echo Bodine, what happened is the state trooper didn't know what to do with these pictures, so he gave them to Echo Bodine, who's a respected clairvoyant in the Minnesota area, and she let me use them. But the Echo says what the boy is doing is shouting no, that he wasn't ready to die. And because it's such a dynamic pose, it really can't be, say, a double exposure, because at the time this picture was taken, the boy is slumped over face down on the seat. Yet the spirit above the car is in a very dynamic pose, shouting. And the spirit image looks exactly like the boy did. So this is one little piece of evidence that it looks like we do have a spirit body that parallels the physical body. Another source of evidence is called instrumental transcommunication, where spirits use electronic means to communicate. With human beings.
Yeah.
And one of the researchers who was involved in this was named Frederick Jurgensen, and he got involved in it accidentally. He was into recording bird songs, and once he took a tape of songs from nature that he had recorded, was playing it back, and all of a sudden his mother's voice appears on the tape and calls him by his pet name, Friedrich, you are being watched. And he knew that, you know, it was impossible for her to have been recorded on that because she was dead. And that got him interested in it and worked on it for years. Then when he was about to die, he told his friend, during my funeral, go home, turn on your TV, I'm going to try to project an image on the television during my own funeral. And that's exactly what happened. And there's an image that we have on the ISIS website where you can see the image of Jurgensen projecting this image from the spirit world, where he looks exactly like he does in the physical world. So there are some pieces of evidence that seem to support this. Just like the physical body responds to this energy template, it appears that physical trauma can impact the energy body. Mm-hmm. So that in a subsequent lifetime, typically what Stevenson found is that if somebody had a stab wound or a bullet wound from the prior incarnation, in the next lifetime, they would have a birthmark or scar in that same spot. So it appears like the energy template that the soul projects was able to retain that trauma.
We have heard cases, Walter, where family members have done some role reversals, so that my thoughts are, in reincarnation, most of the people that you're associated with in your present life, you probably might have been associated with them in the past life. Is that true?
That's true. And in fact, you know, there's a Ian Stevenson twin study that hardly anybody knows about. And the reason is because it's in his 2,000-page book, you know, that very few souls will ever try to, you know, go through. But Stevenson studied 31 sets of twins where their cases were solved. And remember, we said the solved cases were where he could interview witnesses and validate that the child's past life memories were accurate. And so he had 31 sets of twins with validated past lifetimes, so we're talking about 62 people. In 100% of the cases, the twins had significant past life relationships, in 100%. The most common past life relationship was siblings. The next most common was friends or business associates. And the next most common was being spouses. So we had talked about the Laurel and Hardy cases. Well, Laurel and Hardy were best friends and business partners, and they've reincarnated as brothers. Well, Stevenson's twin study categorically shows that souls plan lifetimes so that they can be reunited with loved ones through reincarnation.
And you believe that? I do.
Well, it's again, to me, this is sort of an irrefutable study. And again, it's a study that hardly anybody knows about.
That's great work by Stevenson.
Yeah.
Did he do a lot of this by himself?
Well, he you know, was the one who organized the information, but wherever he went, he worked with other academic colleagues.
Who was Jim Tucker?
Jim Tucker has taken over for Ian Stevenson. Stevenson died in 2007. Jim Tucker is another psychiatrist, MD, at the University of Virginia. Mm-hmm. I believe he started in 2006. And it's very significant. At some point, we might want to talk about the James Leninger case, another case which definitively shows that people look the same from lifetime to lifetime.
Sure, right.
And it's another case that we've gotten to observe over time. But one thing that I'm very happy about is that Jim Tucker has appeared on national television with James Leninger, and on national television, he stated that there is now sufficient evidence to conclude that reincarnation exists. So this is a university professor now coming out with a very strong statement. So again, I think the momentum is growing.
Well, that's good. That is a good thing. Let's talk a little bit more now about some of Stevenson's work, and then we'll get into some other cases. I want to ask you about this little boy in Chicago. You've heard about that, who claims to have been a World War II pilot.
Okay, yeah. So James Leninger, he's actually from Louisiana, and he had spontaneous. What happened to him? He was born to Christian parents, and in fact, his father describes that he's an evangelical Christian. And what happened is that this little boy, James Leninger, started to have nightmares and would start screaming and saying, "Little man can't get out, little man can't come out, get out." And his parents would rush to his bed and try to understand what's happening. And they would ask him questions, and he gave more information. He said that he was in a plane, he couldn't get out of the plane. The father asked, "Well, where did your plane fly from?" He said, "From a boat, and what was the name of your boat? He said the Natoma. The little boy seemed to have this unusual knowledge of World War II aircraft, and he would say that the Japanese planes were called Zeke's or Tony's. His father then would, you know, research this on the internet and find that everything he was saying is true. And he thought, how could he possibly know all this information? You know, he certainly was not learning it on Sesame Street. And just like a typical Stevenson case, little James gave enough information that they were able to locate who he was in a past lifetime. He was a man named James Houston. And little James even remembered the name of his best friend on the Natoma Bay, the aircraft carrier that he flew from, and that best friend's name was James Larson, or Jack Larson, and eventually little James was reunited with Jack Larson at a Natoma Bay reunion. And his parents, this is kind of a bittersweet thing, his parents thought he would be happy to see these people that he knew in a past lifetime, but he seemed very sad.
He was sad.
Why?
Yeah.
And he said, because they all seem so old. But the little James knew so much detail. He was reunited with James Houston's past, James Houston's sister, Anne Barron. And little James knew all sorts of specific information that nobody outside of the family knew. For instance, he knew that their father was alcoholic, that their mother worked as a maid for some of the rich people in town, and their sister was a society writer and was horrified when their mom, you know, started to work for one of the people she was writing about. Little James knew that they had matching portraits done, gave so much information that Anne accepted him as the reincarnation of her deceased brother. Well, the Leninger case was first featured in 2005 on ABC Primetime.
That's right.
When he was only 5 years old.
He was a little guy, yeah.
Little guy. And at that time, you know, I predicted that, you know, he would grow to look like James Houston. But what happened is just this last January, the father, Bruce Leninger, we had been in communication. We actually gave the Leningers the ISIS Award. We give an award to each year to somebody who has contributed significantly to objective evidence of reincarnation. So we were in touch. And Bruce sends me a picture of James as he is now at 12 years of age. He's singing now, and James Houston, by the way, was a good singer. Now James is singing in school musicals. Neither one of his parents has talent in singing. But he sent me the picture of James as he is now, along with James Houston, and said, you know, my wife thinks there's a resemblance here, but I'm not sure. What do you think? And one of the things that you have to do is really size pictures.
They got to be the same with the same frown and everything, right?
Yeah, you have to have the poses need to be the same. You size them the same. I generally take the color out so the color doesn't confuse people.
Mm-hmm.
But now the picture that we have on the ISIS site, it's clear that little James Leninger looks just like James Houston.
See, now let's bring in spirituality for just a moment here, Walter.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be something out there that is doing this. This is not a, you know, universal thing that has just happened by fluke when the planets and the solar systems and the stars and suns and all these things develop. There's got to be a plan behind this, don't you think?
Yes, and you know, further, there's many cases that show that spirit beings are helping solve these cases and trying to get the information out. And there's a whole section on the ISIS site under spirit beings. There's a section called spirit involvement in reincarnation cases, where it's either clear or through inference. Spirit beings are helping solve these cases. I can give one example.
Please, yeah.
Involving Robert Snow, who's a retired police captain. He was in charge of homicide, organized crime, so, you know, very grounded individual. And he was at a party with other police officers, and there was a female officer who had been involved with past life regressions. And she was talking about it, and Bob sort of dismissed it and said, people just make that stuff up, the memories up. And so she got mad at him and said, oh, yeah, big shot, well, why don't you have a regression and see what happens? And he said, sure, I'll do it. Of course, he never meant to, but she kept hounding him and finally said, well, what, are you scared? And that finally made him go and have the regression. And he didn't expect anything to happen. But during the regression, he tapped into this past lifetime where he was painting a portrait of a hunchback woman. And he said the experience was more real than waking consciousness. And he says he remembers doing every brush stroke, and he was remembered thinking to himself, why does this woman want a portrait? She's got this deformity. And he remembered how he hated doing portraits, and he only did it to make money. And he had a studio that had skylights on the ceiling and a row of windows that looked out on tall buildings in a major city. And he had 30 specific memories of what happened in that lifetime. After the regression, he was baffled by this. He didn't believe in reincarnation, and he was trying to rationalize what happened to him, and he thought, well, I must have just learned about this artist who did the Hunchback Woman portrait sometime in the past, and this memory just surfaced during the regression. And for a year, he investigated trying to find this portrait painter with the Hunchback Woman painting. And again, he's a professional detective, but after a year, he found
nothing
and gave up. Well, at about that time, his wife said, you know, our anniversary's coming up, let's go to New Orleans. And he said, sure. And on the last day that they're there, he was walking along the French Quarter and went into a little tourist art gallery, went all the way in the back, and there's the portrait of the Hunchback Woman exactly like he had seen it. And he said he was so shocked at the time that he thought he had had a stroke and was hallucinating all this. You know, he in his own book, he wrote a book called Looking for Carol Beckwith. He said, you know, these things don't happen in real life. This happens in movies, you know. And he was petrified. He couldn't believe what was happening. And then he gathered his wits and then thought, well, wait a second, just because this is the portrait, and he knew without a doubt this was the portrait in his regression. He said, well, maybe I still just saw it. Maybe it was on tour or something. And he asked the gallery worker, and the gallery worker says, you know, Carol Beckwith was not really that great a artist. This painting has been in private hands since 1912. It's never been on tour. You've never seen this. Well, now he has a big clue. You know, in his regression, even though he remembered 30 specific details, he didn't remember his name from the past lifetime. Now he's got the name, Carol Beckwith, from the painting. It turns out that even though Beckwith wasn't the greatest artist, he was a good administrator and organizer and became the president, and like Bob, by the way, who also is an administrator, he became the president of the New York Academy of Design. And they kept the diary, his diary, Beckwith's diary. Bob got the diary and validated all 30 memories through the diary, wrote a book about it, and guess what? Bob has the same facial features as Beckwith.
So you must believe in intelligent design.
Well, what you know, my point is that Bob did not find that painting by coincidence. What I believe happened is that his wife was given a telepathic message, either from Bob's own soul or some spirit guide. The telepathic message was telling his wife, go to New Orleans. And then once they were in New Orleans, Bob was telepathically or intuitively guided to the painting.
You know, there is that connection, Walter. We're going to come right back, talk a little bit more on Coast to Coast AM. Now, if you're having some problems getting onto the ISIS.net website, it's because we probably crushed Walter's website with so much traffic. I'm sure eventually it will come right back up. Next hour, we'll take your phone calls. We'll also take maybe your reincarnation stories on Coast to Coast AM. It seems that more and more people are beginning to believe in reincarnation, Walter. That's my feeling. How about yours?
Yeah, I definitely believe so. And in part, it's cases like the James Leninger case that was featured on ABC Primetime. And I think people are searching for answers to the world's problems. I think people are tired of all the war and conflict that's based on religious differences, mm-hmm. ethnic differences, and people are being disenchanted with traditional religion because, you know, on the one hand, we have to acknowledge it doesn't make sense. You know, I mean, how can there be all these different religions that seem to contradict one another and they all claim to have the truth? You know, from a common sense point of view, you have to say it doesn't make sense. But for the people who are deeply into the religions, you know, they can't quite let go. And I think the basic dynamic is that religions are in business because people are afraid of death. And religions serve the purpose of giving comfort, giving security, filling a void that science has not been able to fill yet. But what is happening is with evidence of reincarnation, science is going to start, there's going to be a creation of a science of spirituality, which is already happening. I mean, Ian Stevenson has done a great job in getting that started. And just like astronomy, if you remember, the church used to have their preference on how the solar system was structured, and they said that the Earth was the center of the solar system and the sun went around the Earth. And when Copernicus and Galileo said, no, that's not right, it looks like the sun is in the middle of the solar system, the church said, no, you can't say that. And they put Galileo under house arrest,
right,
and had all his books burned and had him humiliated in all the universities. Well, you know, in time, astronomy, the science of astronomy took over, and now we rely on science to teach us about the planets and the stars, not the church. And I think the same thing is going to happen with spirituality, where this evidence is more and more going to get into people's consciousness. The cases that exist are going to be better distributed. And then also these cases will continue to come out. You know, it's not going to stop. You know, the cases will continue to come out all around the world. And in fact, this is what I was mentioning, the Indian colleague who I have, he said that before the Born Again book and before I was on CNN in India, the science community sort of just saw reincarnation as a Hindu belief. But now that people see the cases that show evidence, he says now more and more cases are coming out of the woodwork, and they're flooded now with cases coming out. And I think the same thing's going to happen in the U.S. and everywhere.
Okay, so let's get into the possibility then of soulmates and reincarnation as well. Couple, married couple, soulmates, they die. Do they get together again in reincarnation?
Well, they certainly can. And we talked about the Stevenson twin study, where the third most common category of reincarnation relationship was of spouses. So in the twin study, people who were spouses in one lifetime came back as twins in another. And I'm sure it can work the other way around also. So definitely people can, I mean, that's what the rule really is, that you come back with people that you have karma with, people that you have emotional attachments with. In terms of what a soulmate is, here I need to rely on what my spirit friend Atun Ray tells me. And he says that in truth, first of all, he says that souls were created all at once right after the Big Bang that created the physical universe, and that souls were created in pairs, but they were created to be complementary. The common notion of soulmates is it's the person that you get along with the best and you fall in love with. But really, the complementary pairing was done to balance the world, so that each person or each soul was created with a complement to balance the other person out. So for instance, soulmates that Atun Ray has cited are Moshe Dayan, the Israeli Prime Minister,
the one with the patch on his eye.
Right, and Anwar Sadat, the Egyptian president. So you typically don't think of two leaders on opposite sides of a political barrier
spectrum, really, yeah,
to be soulmates, but that's more how it works. Like Louis Pasteur and Robert Koch.
And let me ask you, Walter, mm-hmm, how often do these spirits, these souls, whatever you want to call them, how often do they reincarnate? I mean, at what point do they stop?
Well, first of all, in terms of frequency of reincarnation, what we're finding, and this is another thing to me is very exciting, in the past we've relied on religious doctrines about how often people reincarnate. And, you know, some people would say you only reincarnate once in 1,000 years, but what the cases show is that we reincarnate very quickly. The Suzanne Ghanem case, the person reincarnated after only 10 days. And there are many cases that show that. So reincarnation can happen very quickly. According to Atun Ray, most of us, the range of lifetimes is usually 80 to 120, or around 100. So we all have about 100 lifetimes before we reach the point where we don't have to reincarnate, and we can just continue on developing in the different levels of the spiritual world. And that's where the phrase, you know, my father's house has many mansions, you know, it's in the spiritual world, there are many levels, dimensions. And basically what happens is that when you die, you go to that level that's appropriate for your level of development. And part of the motivation, I think, to reincarnate and to grow and develop is to get into the higher dimensions.
All right, let's talk about the possibility of you know, bad people, evil people. Do they reincarnate and do they come back the same?
Yeah, they do. Hopefully they will get better and improve, but there, people do tend to come back with similar tendencies. And people, another thing to keep in mind is that souls are created with a certain set of qualities. We're not all the same. And so some souls, when they're created, for instance, are more artistic souls. Other souls are more scientist-type souls.
Right.
And so that's why we come back and oftentimes do the same sort of thing, because that's what we're naturally good at. And then there's a certain category of souls that are attracted to power and leadership positions. And basically, people like Hitler, you know, misuse that power.
Does he reincarnate?
He has not. I asked Atun Ray about him, and Atun Ray says that Hitler has not reincarnated, but he will. And basically what happens when you die is you have to review your life, but experience things from the point of view of other people. So Hitler, for instance, will need to review everything he did to others from the point of view of those people. You know, so the people that were persecuted, he needs to experience what they went through. And he does that through a life review, basically. And then when he's done with that, he will need to reincarnate and redeem himself. And Atun Ray has said that, you know, everybody has to redeem themselves and progress and move on to the next stage.
What are the bodhisattvas?
Yeah, so the bodhisattvas are traditionally in Buddhist philosophy are souls that don't need to reincarnate, but they do so to serve humanity. And I always thought it was a very small percentage of people who come back on the planet who are bodhisattvas, but Atin Ray says that actually it's like 20%. So many of us who are incarnate are here voluntarily, and we do it because we care about our fellow man and humanity and want the planet to progress.
Tell me about your Three Stooges cases.
Okay. So, you know, one thing, now that we, you know, I described how I came to the assessment that Atin Ray can make accurate matches. So this allows reincarnation to kind of come alive by identifying all these people in history. I mean, if you accept that reincarnation exists, which the Stevenson cases, I think, are indisputable, then it follows that all these people in history have been reincarnating all along, but we just haven't identified them. So I've asked Atin Ray about all these folks, and so, for instance, the Three Stooges are back as young comedic actors today. Mo has reincarnated as John Cho, and Larry as Cal Penn, and those two actors are famous for the Harold and Kumar series.
Right.
And if you look at Cal Penn, actually, I mean, he has the same sort of eyes, the same kind of crazy expression that Larry does. And then Curly has been identified as Eddie K. Thomas.
Curly was the bald-headed one.
The bald-headed guy. Yeah. And Eddie K. Thomas is an actor who was in the American Pie series, though he also acted in the Anne Frank play with Natalie Portman, I believe.
Portman, yeah.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is Curly, even though he was heavy, was always recognized for having great athletic ability, which allowed him to do all these funny stunts. And Eddie K. Thomas also is a gifted athlete and has even had the opportunity to play professional soccer. Then the Marx Brothers, I asked Atin Ray who the Marx Brothers were, and he said that they had reincarnated in the cast of Superbad. And on the website, whenever it does come up, these cases are featured, and there's a picture of them from a movie, the movie poster, where all three of them are together, and it's the Marx Brothers reincarnated. And Groucho is the actor Christopher Mintz Plasse, and Harpo is Michael Cera. And the physical resemblance between Michael Cera and Harpo is really amazing. And then Chico reincarnated as Jonah Hill, another very popular actor.
How soon does the deceased reincarnate?
Well, you know, I think it can vary. But one thing that we're actually finding is that souls can project even more than one body at a time, or animate more than one body at a time. So it's not only that we can reincarnate frequently, but we can even reincarnate continuously by having more than one body at a time. And the classic set of cases that I use to illustrate this involves three cases involving a woman named Penny Pierce, who's an author and intuitive. And what happened to her is she went to a medium, much like Kevin Ryerson, somebody different, but somebody who is also a trance medium who channels spirit guides. And these spirit guides also had an encyclopedic scope of knowledge, just like Atin Ray. And the spirit guides told her that she had this past lifetime as a man named Charles Parkhurst, and listed 10 specific titles that Parkhurst wrote, mentioned or specified the date of birth, date of death. I mean, just an incredible amount of information. Well, Penny, this happened back in the 70s, and she never bothered to research it until I met her in 2000 and And based on my interest in reincarnation, she finally decided to see if this reading had any substance. And it turned out that Charles Parkhurst did exist. She still had the tape, you know, from 30 years ago. It turns out that Charles Parkhurst did exist. He did write the 10 books exactly like the medium had said, had was born and died on the dates that the medium had said, and she's got the same facial features, even though there's a change in gender. Then the medium had also told her that she was a woman named Alice Carey, and again listed 10 titles that Carey had written, date of birth, date of death, said that Carey had a sister named Phoebe, who was Penny's sister Paula. And when Penny researched it, it all
matched, didn't it?
Matched, and she's got the same face as Alice Carey. So if you and also the sister matched. So if the cases are accepted, there's actually a 30-year overlap between the lifetime of Parkhurst and Carey.
Is it unheard of to reincarnate 200 times?
No, I think that's very possible. But one thing I just want to mention is Ian Stevenson also observed this phenomenon of overlapping lifetimes. And he called them cases with anomalous dates, meaning that the dates didn't match. They weren't sequential lifetimes, but overlapping lifetimes. So again, the important thing is that even though the Penny Pierce case shows it in a dramatic fashion, Stevenson also has a number of cases that show that also. And he even has a suicide case that shows an overlap where the individual who suicided actually had reincarnated before the date of death.
Before the date of death. Now, how does that happen?
Well, we had talked before about how is it that physical appearance looks the same,
right,
is consistent from lifetime to lifetime, and that there appears to be an energy body or a hologram, if you will, that the soul projects. Well, what it appears that the soul can do is that the soul can project more than one hologram at a time. Or if you think of the soul as projecting a light beam down into the physical body, it's like a mirror can split a beam of light into. The soul can project its energy into more than one physical body at a time.
Let's look at, in the moment we have here before we take some phone calls, Walter, the work of some of the people involved today in reincarnation. You're one of them. How many others? Tucker?
There's Jim Tucker, Paul Von Ward. I believe you've interviewed him.
Yes.
And basically, Paul and I started working together. I introduced him actually to the Paul Gauguin case.
All right. Do you know Bruce Goldberg? He does this too.
I don't know Bruce.
Okay, he's
not too many.
A dentist who is now interested in reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you're right. There are not too many. And by the way, we did crash your website. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was going to use it myself to refer to it. I can't get out of it.
You can't get in. No.
But I guess that's good.
That's good. Eventually, it'll open up.
Yeah.
As long as people remember it and do stuff like that. How can people tell if they're reincarnated? Hypnotherapy. That's it.
Well, there's two ways. One, you know, doing past life regressions.
Right.
But, you know, there is the proviso, though, that many times the memories aren't necessarily accurate.
Okay.
And, for instance, on the ISIS website, we only have two cases that are based on regression. One is the Bob Snow case.
Okay, but what's the other one before the break?
The other one is a xenoglossy case, and we should talk about xenoglossy at one point, where people can speak a language that they never learned in the contemporary life.
Xenoglossy. Okay, we will look at that as well when we come back in just a moment. The website's a little slammed, but you can get through to ours at coasttocoastam.com. Let's come right back. Let's make some phone calls now. Stories on reincarnation, questions for Dr. Walter Simkew on Coast to Coast AM.